the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord.
Yes,
in Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this precious opportunity, my Father, that we can come through these radio waves, Father, and minister, Lord, to your children, my Father God, the gospel of the kingdom, my Father. What an honor and what a privilege that is, my Father. Hallelujah. And we give you all of the glory and the honor and praise for it, my Father. Lord, I pray that we be filled with the knowledge of your will for our lives, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can know what is the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding greatness of the power that has been made available to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, my Father. So here we are, Father, coming through the gates of thanksgiving, coming through the courts of praise, coming, man, through the holy place, through the radio broadcast, all the way into your very presence, my Father God. What an honor and what a privilege it is. But you said in your word that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, Father. And Lord, what we need, Father, and in fact, what we already have, need and have, is your love and your kindness and your goodness and your mercy. And for that, my Father, we say thank you. So here's our cup, Father. Fill us up and make us whole. And as in always, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you all of the credit, all the honor, and all the praise. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. It is in the precious name of Jesus. For you have given us, Father, the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus, though it was Jesus himself. So here we are, Father, in the name of Jesus. And for that, we say thank you, yes, and amen. And so shall it be. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, super men and super women of the Most High God. I like saying that, you know. In fact, God added something on to that. I always say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. But I've discovered something here recently, you know, that not only are we mighty men and mighty women of the God, that constitutes that we are superman and superwoman, super men and super women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's powerful in itself, and I pray that God would give you a revelation of that so that you can know that you're not just anybody, and you're not just a mere human being, but you are what that human being really stands for. A human being is simply a spirit that lives in a dirt body. The word humus comes from two words, humus, man. Humus, H-U-M-A-S, that word means earthy, dirt, ground. The word man means spirit. So a human or a human is a spirit being that lives in an earthen vessel, a body that's formed from the ground. But you are that spirit being, that lives in that body, that has a mind, a will, emotions, attitude, personality. That's your soul. So again, you know, you're not just a mere human being, a spirit that lives in a physical body, but you're a mighty man and a mighty woman, what a mighty spirit, a super spirit, a superman and a superwoman, because you are a spirit being. And listen, what's the greatest part about you being a spirit being? You are a spirit being that offspring from our Father in heaven. You come from God. You come from heaven. You didn't come from the earth. Your body came from the earth. But you came from heaven. You are a spirit being. And when God created you, he created you in heaven. He said, let us, who the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and from them triune being came you and I, offspring from God. The same ingredients that's in God, the same ingredients that's in the Word of God, the life that's in the Word of God, the power that's in the Holy Spirit, all of that dwells on the inside of all of us, the Father himself, his Word, and the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that, dwelling on the inside of every last one of us? I'm going to say it again. Can you imagine that? Almighty God living in you. The Word of the Most High God, that's the most powerful force in the universe, living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, all that God consists of, living on the inside of every last one of us. Boy, that makes you a superman and a superwoman, a super spirit being that's living in these earthen vessels. Boy, if we live according to the flesh, according to this natural man, according to this physical man, then we are living far below our rights and our privilege and our power and authority. And God wants you to know that through these radio broadcasts. Listen, he don't want to preach you no sermons. He want to reveal to us, man, who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up at. That's mankind's age-old question. And unfortunately, man, you know, the 8 to 9 billion people that's up on the face of this earth, the majority of them don't know the answer to those age-old questions. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here? What is the potential that we have on the inside of us? What can we do? And where are we going to end up at? The answer to those questions is not found in Scientology, not found through, man, you know, our five-sense reasonings and our five-sense knowledge. The only way, the only one that can reveal those answers to us is our Father in heaven. By the power of his Holy Spirit, using his eternal word. Listen, if you want to know the purpose for a thing, man, purpose is always found in the mind. Original purpose is always found in the mind of the maker of a thing. You and I were made by God Incorporation. So if you want to know the answer to those areas of your question, then you can't go to man. You got to go to God for that. And you got to seek God for that. And you have to go after God for that. God said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek the answer to those questions, you'll find them. And if you knock, the door to the reality of living in the reality of who we are, where we come from, why we're here, what we can do, and where we're going to end up at, living in the reality of that, hallelujah, that's where it takes place. We'll begin to quit living like mere men and mere women or religious people, and we'll start living like who we really are, children of the Most High God, living like where we really come from, heaven on earth, knowing what our purpose is, was to make heaven, to make earth a colony of heaven. to knowing what our potential really is. What can we do? We can do all things that pertains to life and godliness through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know where we're going to end up at? We're going to end up being in heaven, but not in the heaven that we came from. We're going to end up in the heaven that God brought us to. That Garden of Eden that he placed mankind in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 2, that's where you're going to end up at. Only difference between then and now is God planted that spot, planted that environment and that atmosphere, the kingdom of heaven, on a spot on the earth. But when it's all said and done, it ain't going to be on a spot on the earth. The whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is going to be a Garden of Eden. The whole earth is going to be a colony of heaven. And you know what you're going to be doing forever and ever and ever? Ruling and reigning in life. Just like God rule and reign over everything, over the whole universe, you're going to be ruling and reigning over the earth. That's your final destination. Where? Heaven on earth. You've been praying it all our lives. Father, let your kingdom come. Why? Because when your kingdom come, then your will can be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, before it can be on earth, like it is in heaven, it got to first get in the earth. It got to first get on the inside of us. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven don't come with observation, not over there and over here. Where is it? It begins on the inside of us. Listen, you know where your future is? Your future is on the inside of you. And if you want to discover that and walk in the reality of that, then you got to discover that which is on the inside of you. That's why I say if you ask, you'll find. If you ask about that and those age your question to your father, listen, if you ask, he'll answer. If you seek it, you'll find it. That's why I say seek ye first. That's letting us know what our number one priority in life should be. What? Seeking first, boy, what God is doing. That's the kingdom of God. And if we seek first what God is doing in our lives, then, boy, we can begin to experience the kingdom of heaven in our lives. Not in the sweet by and by, but in the right here and now. What on? We can begin to live, man, on earth just like it is in heaven. Just like if we were in heaven. We can begin to function here on earth. Just like, man, we're going to be functioning in heaven. We can begin to talk and walk and act and live and be here on the earth just like it is in heaven. That's available to us. Jesus come preaching and say, hey, repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven has come to you. That's a little bit of a different twist. Everything that we have been doing is to get to heaven. But what God is doing, and what God has done is got heaven, watch this, back to us. And you know what he in the process of doing right now, this very moment, is getting us back into heaven. He didn't already brought heaven back to us. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago preaching the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. That's how close it is. Within hand's reach. That means, you know, if you stretch out your arms all the way, man, to the end of your fingers, see, from the end of your fingers back to your body, that's at the most 2-3 feet, you know. And that's how close it is. That's how close it is. It's within 2-3 feet of you, you know. It's within your reach. And once you grab a hold to it and seize it and place it in your possession, then it's no longer within hand's reach. It gets within you and within me, within all of us. And once it gets within all of us, then what God is doing now is getting us in it. God didn't have no problem getting the kingdom of heaven to us and in us, but what he's dealing with now is bringing us to the knowledge that we got to get into the kingdom. The kingdom is already in us. But we got to get in it. And what religion has prepared us to do is to go there, like it's in the sweet by and by, you know. No, it's in the right here and now. And the devil don't ever want you to know that. Because as long as you don't know that, then you're going to continue to live religious lives or trying to get to heaven. When all the time heaven then came to us. And boy, when you come to the knowledge of death, then you stop trying to live your life to get to heaven. You start living your life from heaven. That's powerful right there. And my prayers, always, my prayers for you all out there is that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. So if we can know, man, what his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives is, why? So that we can have good understanding of what? Of his word and what he's doing in and through his word by the power of the Holy Ghost, in and through his word to us, so they can get on the inside of us, and then we be what God, Jesus told us, the light of the world. Why? Because the world is in darkness, gross ignorance of what? Of those age-old questions. Who we are, where we come from, why we here, what can we do, and where we going to end up at. Most believers think their destination, man, their final destination is in heaven where God is. That's not your final destination. I always say this, you're going to go there, but that ain't where you're going to end up at when it's all said and done. You're coming back to a new heaven and a new earth. That word heaven there in Revelation chapter 21, it's not talking about the heaven where God is. It's talking about the atmosphere and the environment that's above this earth. That atmosphere and that environment, they're going to be a new one where there won't be no more hurricane and tornadoes and all these different things that's taking place, man, in the atmosphere, man, and manifesting itself on the earth. There ain't going to be no more earthquakes and all that stuff like that, man. The atmosphere over this earth going to be just like the atmosphere of heaven. And the earth going to be a colony of heaven. Hey, how you know that, Arthur? Because that's what our Father, that's what God said. That's what he said. Listen, every time I come on this radio broadcast, I am never going to give you my opinion about nothing or what I think. I don't have but one assignment. I don't have but one call upon my life. That's to be an ambassador of Christ and an ambassador, man, of the kingdom of heaven. What's an ambassador? Listen, that's not an elected official. That's an appointed official. And that job is to go into a foreign territory and represent the territory that they come from. I'm going to say that again. An ambassador's responsibility is to go into a foreign territory and represent in that foreign territory the territory that he's from. You from heaven. Your original citizenship is in heaven. And you came to this far, God brought you to this foreign territory called the earth so that we can represent, man, the territory that we come from, heaven, here on this earth. So that we can manifest the territory that we come from, heaven, we can manifest it on the earth. So that, man, you know, the governing system and the governing influence and the governing power of the territory that we come from can be manifested on this earth. That's your assignment. That's your purpose. And listen, and we can do that, not in and of ourselves, but through Christ Jesus, we can do that. Providing we don't get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting that end. What's the mean? Most believers, man, you know, when they read the Bible, even theologians, they read the Bible in the light of our redemption. And that's a good thing. You got to read it in that light too. But man, like my pastor in Houston always say, man, there's a going on in God. We can't just stop at the redemptive work of God. We got to go on, man, to receive, man, the purpose for the redemptive work of God. There's always a next. We should never be complacent with where we are, man, until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. And until we reach that stature of Christ, fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ, then we ought to always be going on. We ought to always be going to our next. We'll always be going on like my pastor church over there in Houston, man. Let's go higher. We'll always, man, be going on. We'll always be doing like what, man, 2 Corinthians say, man, as we look into this perfect law of liberty, the liberty where Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, Then as we look into that perfect law of liberty, then, man, we begin to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. You know what glory is? The full expression of something. The full expression of it. When a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose, it starts off with a seed first, and then that seed is planted in the ground, and then that seed starts becoming, man, what? The fullness of that, the fruit or the potential that's in that seed, what? To produce a rose. And when the rose is at its perfection, then that's the glory of the seed. That's the glory of the word, of the rose. And until we reach the fullness of the stature of Christ, then we ought to always be going on in God, going to our next, to our next, to our next, going higher and higher and higher, going from glory to glory to glory, until we become born the full expression of the image and likeness of our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, the one who created us, just like him. Until we reach that mark, what, just like him in character and nature, then we got to keep going on. We got to keep going to our next. We got to keep going, man, higher and higher. We got to keep going, man, from glory to glory until, boy, we reach that destination. What destination is that? You just like your Father in heaven. You created in his image and his likeness with all power. Power in heaven, power on earth, even power over death, under the earth. That's your possession. And listen, that's our possession. That's what we have now. And the devil don't ever want you to know that. He don't ever want you to go on. He wants you to be preoccupied with me and trying to get what we already have, instead of just beginning to have what's already ours. Listen, you're already saved. You're already redeemed. You're already restored. You know that's the purpose for the redemptive work of God? If you don't know the purpose for a thing, you'll miss at the use of it. Listen, man, Jesus' goal wasn't to redeem us from the curse of the law. His goal was to restore us back to where we fell from. That's the purpose for the redemptive work, so that we can be restored. What? To our original place. To God's, man, original ideal and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. But if we're not careful, man, we'll allow the devil to preoccupy us with the means. What? The redemptive work of God. Expense of coming to the revelation knowledge of why he redeemed us, why he died upon the cross, why he rose from the grave, why he's seated at the right hand of the Father, why he did everything that he did, not just what he did, but why he did that, so that you and I, man, can, man, be restored. Restored what, Arthur? Back to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. You know what that is? I always say it on this radio broadcasting, and bear repeating. God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives is so that through us, he might establish his governing influence of his territory, heaven, to the earth. He want to rule the earth just like he ruled the heaven. In fact, he do. But the way he want to do it, the earth, he want to do that through you and I, through his family of sons called mankind, some in male bodies, some in female bodies. But his purpose has always been the same. His plans in accomplishing that some changes down through dispensation, down through different periods in human history. His plans change, but his purpose is always the same. But he want to rule his earth through us. I'm going to say that again. He want to manifest the governing influence of his territory, heaven, on his earth. He want to manifest not a religion. He want to manifest, man, the governing influence of heaven. He want to manifest heaven on the earth. And the way his plan of doing that is through you and I. His strategy for doing that is to fill you and I with himself, with his word, and with his Holy Spirit. so we can have a divine connection, man, between God and us and between heaven and earth. That's the Holy Spirit. That's a divine connection. And listen, God set that up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and he had that. And when he had that, like I say, it was on a spot on the earth for the moment with an open door into a delightful place, what? The kingdom of heaven here on the earth. Good God Almighty. God lost that in Genesis chapter 3. And everything that he's been doing through Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of your Bible is a means to one end, what? To get that back. And in the old covenant, man, you know, what God meant strategy for getting that back. Those were types and shadows of what God's real deal is and what his original plan and purpose and destiny was. That wasn't it. That was just types and shadows of it. But when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, then those types and shadows, man, begin to come and begin to be a reality. What? He promised Adam and Eve, even the devil too, he promised them something. What? A promised land. What promised land? That spot that he set up on the earth, that Garden of Eden that he set up on the earth, that he placed mankind in to accomplish our assignment for him. When they got put out of that place, God promised them something. He said, I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction. For what? So that I can restore you back to this place. So that you can begin to live your life again from this place. Not trying to live your life to get to that place, but to live your life because you have been restored from that place. Listen, can you imagine, man, what life was like? Or how Adam and Eve were living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Can you imagine what their life was like on the earth when they was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, no death, no sin, no devil on the scene, just God and his family son hanging out together, fellowshipping together. Them in him, him in them. One love, unconditional. Can you imagine what kind of life they was living? Well, that's what you and I have been restored back to. That life. Call it abundant life. Superior in quality and superior in quantity. And listen, here's the gospel about it. Here's the good news about it. That life has been restored back to you. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. Jesus Christ said, the devil, the thief, he come to steal, kill, and destroy that life. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have that life back, and not only life, but that more abundantly. That's superior in quality and superior in quantity. A whole lot of the God kind of life. The Greek word for that is zoe. The Greek word for life, in that sense, is zoe. That's the God kind of life. Life the way God lives and life the way God created you and I to live. What? Just like him. Just like Jesus. That's what Jesus Christ come down here displaying, that kind of life. And you know why he was displaying that kind of life? Because, boy, he was telling mankind that's the life that God originally gave you to live. You lost it in Adam. And I come to get it back for you. So everything he was doing, his death and his burial and his resurrection, that was to redeem us from Adam's disobedience. Listen, he done that. That was over 2,000 years ago. He already redeemed our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into and the slavery to the devil that Adam sold us to. And not only did he do that, but he also restored us back to our original place in him. Even though our sin was like scarlet, man, he washed us white as snow. Why? So that the Holy Spirit can come live again on the inside of us. Not among us like he did in the old covenant. Why? Because he couldn't dwell in unclean temples. But now that the temple has been washed white as snow, then the Holy Spirit can once again come live again on the inside of us. See, that was a good thing to have the Holy Spirit and God living among them in the tabernacle. In a holy, the holy place. God was around them and among them, but he couldn't live on the inside of them. But in our day and time, man, he's not only among us and around us, he's on the inside of us once again. Why? So that we can once again have a divine connection between God and us and between heaven and us. For what purpose? So that we can carry out our original assignment to make it on earth just like it is in heaven. Lord, I'm going to say it again. Man, listen. The devil's most successful tactic against us is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. I'm talking about us as believers. He preoccupies us, man, with trying to get to heaven. That ain't no bad thing. At the expense of forfeiting the end, what? Heaven then came back to us. You don't mind, man, you know we preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the redeeming work of Jesus. As long as we don't preach the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, what's the difference between, man, what he did and what he preached? The redeeming work of God is what he redeemed us from. But the gospel that he preached is what he restored us to. I'm going to say that again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news about what Jesus Christ has redeemed us from. The Bible says, man, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the redemptive work of God, to get us from under the bigly elements of the devil in this world system that we live in. That's contrary to the original world that God set up on the earth. That's the redemption work of God. But the purpose for that redemption work of God is to restore back, man, to the promised land. See the promised land that he told Abraham, man, in Genesis chapter 12, to come out from among your people, and I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey, and, man, I promise you I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through that nation, all nations are going to be blessed, and you're going to live, man, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, that was a type and shadow of, man, what the real deal is. What? The promised land that he told them, Abraham about, that's a piece of property over there in the Middle East. But the original promised land is what God told Adam and Eve, man, I promise you something. Even though I'm going to put you out of this place, the Garden of Eden, and separate, and the Holy Spirit is going to leave you, I promise you something, man, that I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction, and I'm going to restore the Holy Spirit back to you, and I'm going to place you back in this land, man, that I intended for you to live in, the Garden of Eden. That's the promised land. That's the real promised land. That's the real promise, man, that God made to Adam and Eve before man that ever was Abraham. But because they were dead in trespass and sin, then God had to deal with them according to his permissive will. Because they were spiritually dead. They were separated from God. They were separated from the Holy Spirit. And down through time, man, they begin to lose, man, the knowledge of who they really are, where they really come from, why they really here, what they really can do, and where they really going to end up at. And we've been living and dying like mere men and mere women. But over 2,000 years ago, man, Jesus Christ came in and, man, restored back the original promised land, or the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of heaven, back to the earth. That's why the devil don't mind us preaching all kind of good news in the Bible. As long as you don't preach the good news that Jesus preached. What's the good news that Jesus preached? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world, I come to bring that back to you. I come to restore you back to the original promised land that God promised your forefather Adam back in Genesis chapter 3 when he told him, man, the seed of the woman, man, oh, that devil, the seed of the woman going to bruise your head. And one day I'm going to bring you back to this place. I'm going to clean you up, and I'm going to bring you back to this Garden of Eden. But listen, man, that took place 2,000 years ago. And here we are still waiting on it to come. That's why Orthodox Jews are still waiting on the kingdom to come when the kingdom had already came. And they were preoccupied with us trying to get to heaven when heaven then came to you. So if you don't know that heaven has came to you, man, then, man, you know you'll put it off, man. You won't start trying to live your life from that place. So you'll be preoccupied with trying to get to a place that's already been restored back to you. You'll be trying to live your life and quit doing this and quit doing that and try to live holy and righteous and everything else so that you can get to heaven at the expense of knowing that what you couldn't do would redeem your own life from that destruction. Adam and them tried that. That's why when they failed, they clothed themselves with them fig leaves. But, man, that wasn't going to get it. But God, man, showed his love for us that even while they was in their sin, he come in, man, and covered them, man, with the blood of an animal representing a life. In other words, man, they tried to save themselves with the fig leaves. But God, man, came in, man, covered them, man, with the blood coat of an animal, man, covered in blood, a blood sacrifice. Blood represents a life for a life. Ain't no fig leaves, man, and no rituals and no ceremonies and all the things that we do, man, redeem our life from destruction. Not even the laws that God gave Moses. For the works of the law, the Bible says, shall no flesh be justified. But God, in his love and his kindness that he loved us with, even when we were dead in trespassing and sin, hung, bled, and died. And he redeemed our life. Just like God, man, covered them with the blood of an animal, Jesus Christ came and covered us with his blood. Not the blood of bulls and animals and stuff like that, because they could never, man, the Bible say, man, wipe away the consciousness of sin. But once and for all, Jesus Christ came and shed his blood, and his blood covered us up, man. And it covered us up for a purpose. Why? So that, man, we don't have to live, man, live according to the laws of Moses in order to appease Jesus no more. Now, listen to me carefully. I didn't say we don't have to live according to the law. God is a God of laws. I'm talking about how to establish those laws in our hearts. And from the abundance of the heart, man, the mouth gonna speak, and the man from the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to do away with the law. The only law that I came to do away with was your ritual law, where you had to go down into Jerusalem, man, every year, and you had to do all these ritual ceremonies and everything else, man, so that you could be cleansed of your sin. I couldn't do away with the ritual laws, but not the divine laws, not the Ten Commandments. You see, if anybody teach dead men that you don't have to obey the law, then, man, listen, they are least in the kingdom of hell. You say, no, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law. And not only did I come to fulfill the law, if the law is fulfilled in me, then I'm going to show you how to fulfill it in you, too. Now, by faith. Faith in what? Faith not only in the redeeming work of God, but in the restoration work of God, too. Why? So that you can have your conscience sprinkled from a sin conscious to a righteous consciousness. So that you can know that you are as righteous as you are ever going to be. Why? Because he who knew no sin, that's in your Bible, and you know it very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our behalf so that we might be made the righteousness of God on his behalf. You've been made righteous. Stop trying to get, man, what you already have and start having what's already yours. If you want to sin less, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and you'll sin less. If you want to reign in life, the Bible says, boy, the grace of God has been multiplied unto us, and boy, and through righteousness, we shall reign in life. That's in your Bible in Romans chapter 5. How are you going to reign in life? Through righteousness. Not your righteousness, but the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. You've been made righteous. So you don't try to quit sinning to get righteous. You start living righteous, man, line up on line, precept on precept. The more you awake to righteousness, the less you're sinning. You're trying to sin less so that you can get righteous. But what we're supposed to be doing is practicing living right, and if we start practicing living in the righteousness that we already are, then we'll start sinning less and less and less and less and less until, man, we sin no more. That's a better way. Trying to stop sinning so you can get righteous? No, that's a much better way. Well, start living righteous, the righteousness that you are in Christ Jesus. and you are seeing less and less and less and less. That's God's way of doing it. The religious way of doing it is man trying to stop sinning so that you can become more righteous. God's way is man become more awake to the righteousness that you already are, and you are automatically seeing less and less and less. The more you practice righteousness and righteous living, you know what the seed of righteous and righteous living is? Holiness. And you know what the fruit of holiness is? Being just like God, expressing the likeness and the character and the nature of God in his fullness. Going on and on and on, going to our neck, going higher and higher until we reach the fullness of a statue of Christ. You know, that's why God gave the church, man, the gifts of the fivefold ministry, to edify the body of Christ. The word edify means to build us up. For what? For the work of the completion of your purpose. Listen, all of us got a purpose for being here. You don't have to be, man, an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a pastor or teacher to me, and you know that you have a purpose too. Your purpose might not be to be an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or teacher, but you do have a purpose. And your purpose, man, is to manifest the glory of God in the kingdom of heaven on the earth. That's all our assignment. That's every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. That's our purpose. Well, to manifest the glory of God on the earth, to manifest the character and nature and the likeness of God on the earth, to live like God lives, to function like God functions, to talk like God talks, to walk like God walks, to live like God lives, the God kind of life. Well, here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And listen, man, he wouldn't tell us to do something that we can't do. One thing we need to know is, man, that we can do. And the Bible says we can do all things that pertain to life and that kind of life and that kind of garden. But it's through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, of course, we can't do it in and of ourselves. That's why God said, I'm a very present help in your time of need. That's why he said, come boldly to the throne of my grace so that you can get everything that you need of to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. That means we got to have constant fellowship, man, with God. And God tells us to come boldly to his throne. You know what I mean? Just to come now and then or when we need something. He wants us to dwell there, to live there. David said, he who dwells in that place, in the presence of the Lord, in the secret place of the Most High God, shall abide, shall dwell under the good God Almighty, under the shadow of the Almighty. Where we'll be able to say of the Lord, he's my refuge and he's my fortress, he's my strength. And all my trust is in him. Why? Because I don't visit his presence. I dwell there. I live there. Hallelujah. I don't visit his man like we go to church on Sundays and everything else, steal a little stuff, man, and then I have to come out of church and face everyday life, man, right back to the old way of living and everything else and all the trials and tribulations of this world overcoming us. No, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, the word dwell means to abide there. To live there, not to visit there occasionally, but to live there. That's why Jesus Christ cleanses us up from all our sins, so that an unholy vessel, man, can become a holy vessel, so that the Holy Spirit can once again come live in the spirit, our spirit, that's a holy spirit too, just like God, and so that the word of God can rest and abide in all of us, so that bore by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can manifest that word on the earth. Not just preach it. Not just teach it. Not just sing about it, dance about it, have church about it, but live in the reality of it. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Learning how to get the healing, man, that's already ours. Learning how to walk in the salvation that we already saved in. Learn how to walk in the abundant life where there's no like, L-A-C-K. Learning how to walk, man, in the eternal truth that our God will supply all our needs. Not only will supply all our needs, has already supplied all our needs. He's already delivered us, man, from all the snares of the devil, all the things that the devil got us bound up to, whether it be drugs, alcohol, promiscuous living, from A to Z, spirit, soul, and body, already delivered. What you got to do? Walk on out of bondage. How you walk out of bondage, man? When you know, man, that the trap been sprung. Listen, if the devil got you bound up in a trap, man, and you got your foot in a trap where you can't get out of it, and somebody come in and spring the trap and open the trap, then all you got to do is just take your foot out the trap and go on about your life. Most believers, man, still think they bound up, so, man, the trap still got them where they can't move and live and act and be and walk in the reality of who they really are because they think they still bound up. Listen, who the Son set free is free indeed. The trap has already been sprung. But you got to take your foot out of it. Listen, God has already prepared the whole armor for us, man, so that we can stand against all the strategies and snares of the enemy. But you got to put the armor on. He doesn't provide it for us. He didn't sprung the trap. He didn't save us. He didn't heal us. He didn't deliver us. He didn't already provide it for us. But we got to begin to walk in there, in the reality of that. We got to receive that. We got to grab a hold of that and seize that and place it in our possession, man, and walk it on out. How often? By a law in the kingdom called a law of faith. Faith in what? Believing that who the Son says free is free indeed. Believing, man, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. Believing that our God supply all our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, believing what, Arthur? That by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And it might not happen instantly in your life, but keep on believing it. Keep on talking it. Keep on walking it. Keep on acting like it. And guess what's going to happen in due season? In due season, we'll reap if we don't faint. But you got a part to play, too. What you got to do, man, you got to receive God's grace. You got to receive, man, God's healing. We got to receive, man, God's provision. We got to receive the liberty, man, that Christ Jesus has given us, man. We got to receive the exceeding great and precious promises that God has made to us. And through those promises, man, we partake of his divine nature and escape all the corruption that is in this world. Not enough for us to quote it and sing about it and preach about it and have church about it. That's all good and everything else because that's a part of it. But there's a going on. There's a going on to our next, man. After preaching about it and singing about it and dancing about it and talking about it, man, not time to possess it. How you possess it, Arthur? By walking on out by faith, by acting on it. By not just being a doer of the word, but, man, acting on it. Acting like it. Talking like it. Walking like it, believing like it, speaking like it, living like it, line up on line, precept up on precept, just like my pastor over there in Houston say, man, going from glory to glory, going on in God, going, man, higher and higher and higher and higher until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. Listen, that must become a way of life for us. Listen, man, you know, I say this there's a possibility, man, that we might not receive the end of our salvation in the life, in this life that we have here, because all we got, man, is what, 50, 60, 70, 30, 100 years, 120 years, 3 weeks, 3 months, or days from the time we born up until the time we leave these physical bodies. That's up to 120 years, man. But let me tell you something, you might not receive the fullness of death in that time. But don't stop going on in God, man, because you ain't got there yet. Don't stop believing, man, if your healing ain't been manifested yet. Don't stop acting, man, that the fullness of your salvation, man, is not already complete, man. Listen, keep on acting like it. Even, man, when the symptoms still there, keep on talking like it. Listen, man, I've been believing God for a healing in my body, man, for the last 5 years, man. It ain't manifested totally in my body. But, boy, I keep on believing it. If I keep on acting on it, if I keep on talking like it, if I keep on walking like it, and keep on living like it, and guess what happens? I'm becoming, man, what I already am. At one point, I couldn't even walk at all. At that point, man, I was walking on a walker, man. Then I started walking on a cane. And now these days, man, I'm starting to walk a little bit, man, you know, without the walker and without the cane. I still sometimes might need to walk every now and then if I go a long way, you know, or the cane if I got to walk a long way. But there was one time where I couldn't walk at all. But what I'm doing, I'm doing like Paul say, man, I ain't not apprehending death for which I'm apprehending for. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I keep on pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. I'm already healed. I ain't trying to get healed. I'm already healed. What you doing? I'm walking it on out, baby. You press this button right here, boy. The only thing coming out of my mouth is, boy, by his stripes, I'm healed. Like my sister used to say, boy, he used to come to church limping, boy. Old legs were hurting and everything else. But, boy, when you ask for something, boy, she'd say, don't let that limp fool you. Hey, Lord. I say the same thing, boy. I be limping around here and bent over kind of like now. I'm walking like an old man, but I'm walking. And, boy, I keep on walking, man, I'm going to start walking like a young man. And then as I keep on walking, man, then I'm going to run. Hallelujah. And if I keep on running, if I start running, then I'm going to continue to run this race. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because I am what I am. What you are, what the great I am spoke over me. And the good news is, you are too. But I am what I am, because the great I am, he spoke over me. What do you say? By grace are you saved. By the stripes of Jesus are you healed. I supply all your needs, man. I deliver you from all the snares of the devil. I give you more power than all the powers of your enemy. I restore back to you everything that the anchor worm, the plumber worm, the caterpillar, everything that the devil man stole from you, I restore it back to you. Hallelujah. I am all of that. Why? Because he spoke over me. And he's not a man that he should lie. And let me tell you something. He ain't got no respect to person. The same thing he spoke over me, he spoke over all of us. What's the difference, man, between some and the other? Some have received it and going on to receive the end of their salvation in every area of their life. And some men just some haven't received it yet. Some haven't grabbed a hold to it and seized it and placed it in their possession yet. They believe God. They believe in God. But let me tell you something, man. Faith is belief, but faith is a little bit stronger than belief. Faith is believing to the point where you talk like it and act like it, man, and walk like it even before you see any manifestation. That's what the scripture means. We say faith without works is dead. If you believe, therefore you speak. If you speak, then you start acting like it. You start talking like it. You start walking like it. You start living like it. Watch this. Even before you see the manifestation. Why? Because it's the substance of the things that hope for, the evidence of things that you don't really see yet. Most of us waiting to see something, man, before we start believing. No, man, you waiting to see something before you believe it, then you ain't going to never have it. You got to, man, believe it before you receive it. And you got to talk like it and act like it. And guess what's going to happen, boy, in due season? Hallelujah. You're going to reap if you don't faint. Listen, God has redeemed our life from destruction. For what purpose, Arthur? So that he could restore us back to his original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. And listen, that ain't something that he's trying to do. That's something that he's already done. And what he's doing in our day and time, man, is men bringing us to the knowledge of it. For what purpose? So that we can walk out of darkness, ignorance of death, and begin to walk in the light, thereby bringing glory to our Father in heaven. What do you mean bringing glory to our Father in heaven? It gives the Father great pleasure to give us the kingdom. Listen, before you can enter the strong man house and spoil his goods and get back everything else, you know, you got to first bind up the strong man. But listen, Jesus Christ came in 2,000 years ago and bound up the strong man. We still trying to bind him up, man, when he already bound up. Listen, our responsibility is to go get the spoil. You can't get the spoil until you first bind up the strong man. You can't enter the strong man house and get the spoil until you first bind up the strong man. Here we are down here trying to fight a battle like it ain't been won yet, when our job, man, is to go get the spoil, not to fight no devil. Only way you fight the devil, man, is in prayer. That's what the armor is for. The armor is for, man, you not for you to fight no devil. The armor for you is to fight the great fight of faith. The devil already been defeated. Jesus Christ made a show of him openly in front of all his demon cohorts, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him, man, and then man told you and I, here, I give you all power. Power in heaven, power on earth, power even under the earth, over death. Now you go and you occupy, and you go get the spoil. He didn't tell us to go fight no devil. He said, I got that part. I put the devil under my feet, and you my body. So what you got to do, man, is put him under your feet. You ain't got to fight him. What you got to do? Enforce the victory that's already been won. How you do that, Arthur? By believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. That you're the victor, not the victim. That you're the head, not the tail. That you're above, not beneath. That you blessed in the city and blessed in the field, not man cursed. That God can supply all your needs, man, according to his riches and glory. Sure, he used people, man, but you can't depend on people, man, and go to people, man. The Father say, man, listen, your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. We looking for handouts from people and everything else and somebody else to help us, man, get the money. And God will use people, but you got to go past the people, man, and go to the source. That's your Father in heaven. And the Bible says your Father in heaven know that you got bills. So quit going to man and everything else and go to God. And then God will in turn put on the hearts of man, whoever it might be. Because most cases, the people who you're going to looking for help, man, ain't the people that you listen, that God got for you to do it. They're depending on God, too, and God's supplying all they need. And what, man, we want you to know that the same God that supplies all my needs will supply all your needs, too. It's not according to the economy or our bank account, but according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, you ain't even got to take no thought for that. How you going to make it? How you going to pay your bills? How you going to eat? How you going to drink? What you going to wear? Where you going to live? All that. Why? Because your heavenly Father know that you have need of all that. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. And the Bible saying all these things will be added unto us. We going to God and asking God, man, for things. God says the pagan that seek after those. That's the religious people that go after that. But the kingdom people, they seek the kingdom. Why? Because in the kingdom, the streets paved with gold. In the kingdom ain't no sin. In the kingdom ain't no devil. In the kingdom ain't no defeat. In the kingdom ain't no trials and tribulation. In this world you're going to face them. But in the kingdom, you overcome them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, y'all, my time is about up on this radio broadcast today. And, man, you know, I just bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you mean, bless you? I ain't talking about the blessing of Abraham. I'm talking about the blessing that God blessed Adam with. Hallelujah. Because when he blessed Adam, he blessed everybody, because everybody was in Adam. The Bible saying, God said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and the cattle, and everything that creepeth on the earth. Then the Bible says, and God blessed them and told them, be fruitful, that's productive. Multiply, that produce a whole lot. Replenish, that help other people, man, too. And subdue this whole world. What he did, he blessed them. Listen, what God has blessed can't be cursed. Stop trying to get blessed, man, and walk in the reality that you already blessed. Listen, God ain't trying to bless us. He done already blessed us. He say, and God blessed them. He didn't say God gonna bless them. He say God blessed. That's past tense. Already done. What we got to do, man? Walk by faith in the blessing that we already are. You already blessed. So start acting like it and talking like it. Yeah, but I ain't got no money. My bills are due and everything. Yeah, you blessed. Start acting like it and talking like it. Yeah, what I thought happening, man? You start walking through reality that your God supplies all your needs. That's how I live. I've been living that way, man, you know, for the last 45 years. I ain't never made enough money, man, to take care of the responsibilities, man, financial responsibilities. But boy, let me tell you something. All through these last 45 years, my God has supplied all my needs. Not according to my bank account or what I got or how much money I'm making in this business out here, down here. I ain't never been made enough money to take care of man here. I've always, in the natural, I've raised out to live, but God, I always kept that thing going even up until this day. Even our little church building, man. It was tore up to the floor, man. Couldn't do nothing yet. God has restored that thing. It wouldn't be according to the money I had, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus Christ. Listen, I pray that blessing be upon you too. I love you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Our number, 713-870-3776. That's 713-870-3776. One love, that we love you with, unconditional, the love of God. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life.